Today in our podcast, we're going to speak to Jess, a founder of a gym in Capalaba called Relentless. Jess is breaking down barriers and stigmas on getting into a gym and also going to talk about the compounding effect and how the small things every day add up to the big things in life. So we'll cross over to Jess, see what key takeaways we can get from today's episode. Welcome, Jess.
Let's meet inspiring women kicking goals, working on the tools in trades, industry and business, and building for themselves careers they thrive in. Let's discover the meaning of success and how we can be the happiest versions of ourselves in life, finance, careers or business. Welcome to Her Trade Story.
So Jess, I know you are so passionate about the fitness industry and mental health and the like. How did your journey into the fitness industry, how did it start and how did it come about?
Honestly, it was pretty much like a lot of people's. The only difference was is that I've actually done something about it rather than just become a normal gym goer. I've always liked fitness. You know, I just never was good at it. Yeah. You know, I always played sport at school but never really achieved anything. Obviously, coming out of school, I then did the stereotype thing, got into gyms, didn't pay for these memberships but didn't show up.
Yeah.
Got to the gym, didn't know what I was doing, took advantage of my youth. And then I had kids. Actually, before I had kids, my partner actually convinced me to go into this group environment, which I didn't know what it was. It was actually a CrossFit
location. CrossFit, well, my husband was a CrossFitter.
Yeah,
yes.
Right. Yeah. At the time, it wasn't known. No one knew what it was. And I was like, what is this? I was nervous enough as it is, walked in and holy crap, the sounds coming out of that gym, like weights being thrown around, walked in, sweat flying off people. I was like, I don't think I belong here, hey. But the coach was actually really approachable. Being a guy himself, like I thought he'd be intimidating, but he wasn't. He broke everything down, put me through this fitness test, which in retrospect now was humiliating. Like if I look back on what I did then, oh goodness. And he didn't make me feel embarrassed whatsoever. You know, so I got my foot in the door there, but once again, I loved it, felt empowered, but then struggled with consistency in the gym. You know,
yeah.
I was off for a couple of weeks at a time, then I'd randomly show up, then I was scared. I'd sit in the car parks, have panic attack, because I was the worst one in the gym. So
yeah.
Nobody wanted to borrow me because I wasn't
yes.
the cool kid.
Yeah.
But my partner was. He was the fit one. He was
yeah.
the strong one. And so everyone wanted to talk to him and I was just always pushed to the side, but that was okay. And then I had my kids and then really felt my first impact of mental health.
Yeah.
I struggled after my son. I had postnatal depression and that's when I realized it's just not negotiable.
Yeah.
I was a stay-at-home mum because of my partner's business at the time. I had two kids really close together and I then just realized it was non-negotiable. I bought a barbell, two gym mats, and that's what I started off with in my garage.
Yeah.
And I just fought my way out.
So fitness has just been something that's just powered you to keep going, empowered you.
Yeah.
Yeah, with it. See, I'm not a gym person and I'm not a fitness person, but I'm more of a, okay, I've got some time, I'll go for a walk.
Yep.
And I do too think that that is just exercise, getting out in the sunshine and just moving your body and getting that heart rate up, it really does give us mums that mindset as well.
Yes, it does.
You know, I don't think I realised how much I missed it until I've had Piper. And with the hormones and the changes that happen in our female bodies, you've got body change, we've got hormonal changes, we have friendship changes, we have so many different things that happen.
Yep.
I think that so many women probably need exercise more than they actually know that they need it.
100%.
What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, 100%. Especially going through motherhood, your structure changes completely. I have ADHD, so it really, really stood out to me when I had a kid. You know, all my routine was taken away and I had to create my own routine. So someone with ADHD.
Well, you don't get to create it. This kid that's just there. That,
exactly.
That kid creates a routine.
And you just got to adapt all the time and it's just like constant mind space. And so fitness was the only structure I had. The rest was just survival. So having that structure there is so important, plus the hormones that you get and the all the rest of it. Like it's, and then the empowerment, the achievement, the all the rest of it. And then the physical changes come after that and you're just like, holy crap, this is awesome.
I know that one thing you're really proud of with your gym at Relentless in Capalaba is that your belief that, you know, you'll even have me in your gym is not, you know, that your gym is for everybody.
I'll take any type. No.
Yeah. So what made you want to build this business that you started?
Well, all the gyms that I've ever went to, I never felt like I was at home. I never felt like I was wanted there. I never felt comfortable. It was very uncomfortable. Like I said, I used to sit in many gym car parks and have panic attacks and I would drive in and drive off, go and cry somewhere and have a bit of a sook and be a victim. Then I thought I was the only one. And then as I've obviously gotten older, I've realized I'm not the only one.
No.
There's plenty of people doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
This is ludicrous. How do we not feel comfortable going to the gym? It is insane. So I'm trying to break down those barriers and those stereotypes that gyms for some reason have that, you know, only the fittest or the fit can be there. Even just this week, 3 times I've been told, oh, I'll lose a few kilos before I come in. What are you talking about? What does that mean?
Yeah.
Come in. That's the hardest part, just walking in those doors. So that's why I've designed Relentless the way it is. Just trying to be the most approachable gym. It's not a scary place.
Yeah.
You know, it's just in your head that it makes it
scary. I have to get there. So what sort of advice can you give me, someone that wants to go to the gym? I know my body's better for it. I know physically my clothes fit better, but more so I can be more present in my work as well. Like if I go for a walk of a morning or if I do something, in my mindset, I know that I'm going to be so much more productive for the day. I can treat people better. I can communicate better.
Mm.
And yet some days I don't do it and it's only something I've started. What advice could you give someone like me?
It's that clarity, that you need and it gives you in the mornings. Honestly, the biggest thing I would say is simplifying it. Don't overcomplicate it. We tend to get in our own heads like most things, you know, like I don't have the clothes. Oh, it doesn't fit in my schedule. I can't do that, but don't.
So it's the excuses. It's this mindset and this speech in our mind where we have these excuses that say, and it pretty much is saying, you know, you're not worthy of your time in the gym or
the little demons
you're not worthy,
in your head.
All those sorts of things that sort of can control our actions.
So I just allow yourself one step. Walk in those doors.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do. Don't worry about what shoes you've got. Don't worry about what water bottle you've got. Like if you're overweight or whatever it is, you're not good enough, just walk in the door and see what happens.
Yeah.
Because once you're in those doors, the rest is easy. It just happens.
Yeah,
you know, you start meeting someone, someone's nice to you, and then it's that compounding effect.
It is. Yeah, yeah.
So you just got to walk in those doors.
Yeah. And I think the compounding effect is so important throughout life as well, because you can either make a choice in life to do the small things and the boring things, but those small things and those boring things, they actually compound to big things over time.
Oh, 100%.
I can choose to drink a bottle of wine or I can choose not to. My choice too can make me feel terrible the next day or, you know, make my health have those implications on my health. But sometimes it's really hard to make, I think sometimes it's harder to make the boring choices.
Yeah.
Than it is to, you know, to do the boring stuff. It's really hard. So how do you do the boring stuff?
You make them fun.
Yeah.
You know, you get into a group class. You don't go to the gym by yourself and get bored and tune out into a podcast. You make it fun. Set those goals that you want to achieve that are exciting for you. What would a goal be for you that's exciting? Then get stuck into that and then it's not so boring.
Yeah. And it's just that discipline.
Yeah, discipline. Discipline's hard.
Yeah, discipline. That's what I find.
I find that complicated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I find just like I think what I have to take your advice and people listening to the podcast, that's really good advice is just do the small stuff. First step and then the other stuff will follow.
100%.
Yeah, because sometimes that first little step is the hardest thing to do.
Oh, and it's walking in those doors. I'm telling you, in those doors is the hardest part. How many times have I get told so many different things? And they just got to walk in the door.
Yeah. And so realistically, your gym isn't about you. You are not a gym. You're in the business of transforming lives, transforming people's mental health and transforming how they look at themselves, how they perceive about themselves. And you're in a really powerful position because as people, if we can do that and we can pass that on to our children and we can be happier versions of ourselves, that is such a massive investment in the community.
Yeah.
And I can see that you take that like so seriously and what you have built Relentless to do. What's your journey been like being an entrepreneur and being in business? Because being in business it's sometimes really tough.
Mm.
You got your highs and your lows and ups and downs. Tell me about a time that was really tough in business for you.
Ooh, the whole thing? What are you talking about? No, anything outside the gym is the hardest part for me. Juggling, it's terrifying. Juggling the family life, the mum guilt.
Mm-hmm. Mum guilt's a big one.
It's huge. Constantly being out of my comfort zone. Mm. Ugh, I just want to be comfortable once.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? I think a key takeaway too from this podcast is you have to be uncomfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to get comfortable.
You have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable,
100%. Yeah, with that, to be uncomfortable because without doing that, you sort of don't know what you can achieve in life. You have to sort of get used to that pit in your stomach and you just have to, like you say, like what you do so well is you just work out what the first step is.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that first step, the rest becomes easier.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's just that one step in there to be able to do it. Tell me about one of your high points in with the gym or in life or with business, I guess. What's one of your high points?
Oh, it's the results. It has to be the results. Little comments that our members say to me, I really take on board and they mean a lot. They might, them just talking in conversation, but to me, I get teary
it's
about
your
it.
World. It's your world. It's what you, it's sort
why
of like
I did what I
your
did.
Heart, it's your heart there going, this is my why.
It's exactly. 100%. Yeah. You know, this morning, I know it's only really small, but they were after the workout, they were just talking about, one of the ladies said that she recovers a lot quickly in the car on the way home from the gym.
Yeah.
You know, she's not as out of breath anymore.
Yeah.
And another lady said, yeah, she can run around with her kids and she doesn't feel out of breath as much anymore. You know, she can keep up with her toddlers. And I was like, stop it.
Yeah. So what was it like? Like, what's it like being female with ADHD?
Oh, it's tough.
I sometimes wonder if I've got ADHD with the way my life is and how organized it is. But with females and with women, I think it goes so undiagnosed sometimes.
Yeah, and hormones can throw it.
Yeah.
It makes it so scattery.
I think if you're a boy, it's so much, or a male, it's so much easier.
It's so much more accepted because it's a behavioural thing.
Yeah,
where we just get in our own, oh, I don't know, it's really hard. You're constantly self-analysing, you know, because you've got kids.
Yeah. Do you think you're self-analysing because you're reflecting, or do you think that's one of your coping strategies to be able to keep you powering on to success?
I think I self-analyse mainly because I'm trying to give myself and teach myself tools that I can teach my, one of my kids has it as well.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to avoid, you know, many years I didn't have those tools.
Yeah.
So I had to do it later on in life, which made things a lot harder, which is why I'm a lot slower than everybody else. You know, didn't go through school very well and I was socially awkward and lots of other things that went on top of it. So I'm trying to prevent that for my children, you know.
So what are some of those tools and what are some of those takeaways that we can sort of take away from you, because I'm sure so many listeners are going to go, oh, I have ADHD and it's something that sort of, I don't think women talk about it too much. It's just like mental health. There's so much mental health, but I don't think we discuss it enough.
No.
What some tools that you've sort of, what you sort of do, because you probably naturally do so much and you probably don't even know that you do them.
Yeah. So with the tools, it's more emotional regulation is a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to calm yourself down. You can be quite reactive with ADHD. So for me, I'm like, don't react, just think about it.
Yeah.
But then the next minute I'm like, not reacting quick enough, you know, and I'm like, I look slow and I'm like, oh, so just trying to find that balance.
Yeah.
You know, breathing exercises for me is huge, which also goes hand in hand with my fitness.
Yeah.
Meditation is huge. What we eat as ADHD people is huge. You know, like people don't realize what you eat has a huge impact on your side effects of ADHD. So that's a big learning curve, which I'm also results in my members. You know, I was actually really surprised how many members have ADHD.
Oh, do you look at these people and go, ADHD,
I spot
ADHD.
Them from a mile away, you know?
Yeah.
Especially the way they attack a workout.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
You can analyse and you can see and go,
we go all in and then we go, like, we die off and we go all in and then.
Oh, sounds like me.
Yeah, honestly. And these atypical people just are so consistent with their workout. But yeah, the tools, there's many tools to teach. But yeah, the emotional regulation is a big one. And
I was doing a book the other week on that and with what you touched on, and it was talking about trying to know your triggers and trying to know your emotions so then you know how to respond rather than react to a situation.
Mm.
And it is really, really tough because you think, oh, that person looked at me this way or, you know, and
so
it can get
sensitive.
So into our minds that we sort of feel overwhelmed and the like. And it gets really, really hard going, okay, well, what do I do? And I think there's so many great skills that we can pass on to our kids.
Yeah.
And as mums, and I think that's like a key takeaway too from this podcast that we've got today, is if we can let like the younger versions of ourselves know that it's okay and that you will get developed strategies and that to get through it. Exercise, it's just such a powerful thing. Like you say, exercise for you is a non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable, especially someone with ADHD. I think that needs to be more spoken about
as
well, is how much
autistic
and ADHD people need exercise, you know, along with depression, anxiety and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
I know that's a big bubble there, but
they're
huge. They're huge side effects,
Sometimes our workplaces don't allow for it.
No.
They don't allow movement in the workplace. And that's why when I have my team cleaning gutters and I saw that, hey, we need this, all-female gutter cleaning crew, I discovered there was this group of women that they weren't suited to retail.
Yeah.
But if they do a workplace course, it's retail, hospitality. And exactly. Yet they're not the areas. They're the areas that cause them anxiety when someone says, I want a skinny cappuccino with an extra shot and two sweeteners. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh my gosh.
100%.
And when we're cleaning gutters in Brisbane and outside, it's so great using our body, being out in the sunshine,
yep.
and actually using equipment and being on the tools.
Yep.
And that's why I think with females, we need to increase female participation on the tools.
Yeah.
And just like you've done it with a gym.
Yeah.
We need to get more girls on the tools to give those opportunities rather than pigeonhole them still in hospitality and all yeah. those sorts of areas. Now, when we were talking the other day, you had a really great saying, and it was about buckets and how you sort of, mm-hmm. you are so more highly skilled at so many things than you give yourself credit for, Jess.
Oh, stop it.
What is it about that you were telling me about how you like decup
my bank accounts.
Yeah, your bank accounts that you're you, that
so
you
I
sort
have
of
a
do.
Withdrawal and a deposit system in my family.
And it's not finance. It's not finance. It's not finance. This is just a life skill.
Complete analogy that me and my partner use, you know, with my kids as well. So we talk about withdrawals and deposits of a bank account. And when I say that, I'm referring to, okay, what have you taken out of yourself and what have you putting back into yourself? So have you worked out today? Great. You've made a deposit. Yeah. Oh, I had a drink on the weekend. You've taken a withdrawal.
Yeah.
You go through moments in life where you take way more withdrawals than you put deposits and you don't realize until you're at the bottom of the shower, curled up like in the fetal position going, what's just happened?
Okay. How did I get here?
You know, my partner will walk in or vice versa and I'll go, okay, what have you put in the bank account? He's like, you know, I've eaten KFC. I'm like, well, don't do that. Go for a walk, get into the gym, get organized, whatever it is, put those withdrawals back in and you'd be surprised. Once again, those one little steps.
The compounding effect. There we go. There's our episode, our compounding effect, the choices you make.
100%.
Each choice either adds up to something great or it adds up to something that's not so great.
Yeah. So it's just an easy analogy for me to remember. Once again, one of those tools that I need. Otherwise,
I love that
I get too busy. Yeah. I get too busy in my head. Yeah. So I just keep that analogy. I'm like, okay, withdrawals. It's just two simple steps, in and out, in and out, making sure that balance is right.
No, that's great. Yeah. So Jess, looking at your younger self and say if we've got listeners listening to this podcast today about in their early 20s, it's such a time where it's full of self-doubt. It's full of not knowing who you are. And sometimes that's the journey that life takes us on. What's some advice that you would give to somebody that's at that stage of their journey?
I'd probably have two things. I wish someone had said to me, it's okay to take a risk. Or if not, encourage taking risks. But because we didn't come from a lot of money, we had to be very careful.
Yeah.
Like we didn't want to be on the back foot again.
Yes.
So trying to get comfortable with those risks and taking them all the time. So I'm trying to teach my kids to take all those risks. It's okay. Who cares if you fail? Like just get back up and keep going.
Yeah, I know, but failure is just such, I don't know, it's such a scary concept, isn't it?
It doesn't exist.
No. Yeah.
It's not a thing.
But we sort of like in our minds, it's something that, I don't know if it's ingrained in us from childhood where I know that when I was at school, I wasn't smart at school at all. It'd be a C or a D unless I worked bloody hard for it.
Yeah.
But I think there is just so much value in that. When going through my teenagers and early 20s and the like, I had a great mum and dad, but I paid for my own uni.
Yeah.
I paid for my own car parking fees.
Definitely.
My car, it was if you didn't save up for a car, you didn't have one.
No, that's
right. There was no bank of mum and dad to be able to go, oh, here's your car because, you know. And I think that too, that can add so much value. Do you think that's what's added to your resilience to keep on going and to be able to take risks?
Oh, 100%. There was no second option and I had to fight for everything. I'm actually worried that my kids are not going to have that resilience because they lived such a protective life. And I go, man, these kids need to do it a little tougher.
Yeah, I think that too. I sometimes look at the young ones now who are like early 20s, mid 20s.
Yeah.
Every generation, there's this sort of a wealth that sort of gets passed down a little bit and it gets a bit easier.
Yeah.
And I look at my boys and I'm thinking, I actually have to make you go get a job.
Yeah.
And I actually have to make you save up for your first car.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I could do that. I could buy it for them. And then I'm thinking, actually, I'm actually taking away from them the value and saving up and the value of hard work and that sense of accomplishment.
100%.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that small business owners have. We have this sense of like when things get tough, giving up just for some of us, it's just not an option.
No, that's right. And trying to take that option away from the kids is a different thing. Yeah.
You'll find that too in the gym probably, that by getting people through the doors and getting them to show up and realize that, like you say, not exercising
It's non-negotiable.
It's a non-negotiable. Yep. Yeah, that exercise is, it's a non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. That's the same sort of mindset, really, and the same criteria that you just got to get it done.
Take those options away and just go after it. Get after it.
So, Jess, how do you bring your A game then each day? What do you do? What would you do? What small thing?
Look, my kids are my A game, the reminder of what I'm trying to pass on to them, because my legacy to them isn't what I'm leaving behind. It's what I've taught them.
Yeah.
Amazing. So, and the second thing from that is just reminding myself of where I've come from.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Who cares if you shut shop today? Mm-hmm. Holy crap, can't believe you got here to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. And what have you learned from it?
Exactly.
Like, what have you learned from every 110%. Single day when failure, if you can learn something from it, it's not a failure.
Exactly. Mm. So they're my two reasons that I just bring my A game every day, because I'm like, I've already gotten one step better than I thought I would. So see if I can take another step.
Amazing. Yeah. Love it. Love it. So thanks, Jess. Jess from Relentless Gym in Capalaba, thanks for joining us today on our podcast and giving us the takeaway of the compounding effect, and also too that exercise is a non-negotiable, because I think we need to hear that message more. I think we need to move our bodies, and we need to do it just not for ourselves, for our families and for our communities as well. So all the best with, if any of our guests want to find Jess, she's in Relentless in Capalaba, and she will welcome everybody into her gym and you will feel instantly comfortable.
Including Melissa.
Oh, yeah, I know. Have to get there. This is terrible.
I'll see you Friday at 9:15.
Yeah, you'll have to call me out. So if you are a listener and you've enjoyed our podcast and think that someone may benefit from listening to it, please share podcast with a family, a friend, a loved one. Press like, subscribe, and give us a rating, and join us for our next podcast next week.
Joining us on Her Trade Story. If you love today's episode, please subscribe, rate, and share. Your support helps us inspire more listeners like you. Stay tuned for more empowering stories and practical tips to shape your path to success. Until next time, and remember, every day show up and bring your A game.